Ooh, Alpha Dog. I love that.
Welcome to the Alpha Dog Capital Deal Flow Channel. This is where we talk about alternative investments that you cannot find on Wall Street. Listen and learn about deals, funds, syndications, and business ventures. We are not investment advisors, and we do not give investment advice, but we do talk about investments you may want to consider. Don't forget, always do your own due diligence. Welcome to another episode of the Alpha Dog Capital Deal Flow Channel. And today I have a special guest, Scott Carson. And Scott is in the note buying business. So Scott, why don't you take a few minutes to introduce yourself and tell everybody what you do?
Yeah, thanks, John. Honored to be here. Oh, Alpha Dog. I love that. I guess you guys say I'm the note dog. Basically, for the last 15 plus years, I've been buying distressed debt mortgages on residential commercial properties all across the country for my own portfolio, where we buy that debt direct from banks and lenders. Austin, Texas is home. I've been a real estate investor since 2001 when I bought my first home, and really love it. I've been a full-time investor since haven't had a normal W-2 since 2004. So for 18 years, I've made my way in the real estate industry as an entrepreneur and investor out there. And so we buy in about 30 different states across the country. Like I said, buying both residential and commercial notes, and then working to really kind of keep people in their houses, or keep property owners in the property we can buy, either modifying the loan, restructuring the debt, or working with a borrower to walk away without them having a huge judgment on their record or anything like that. So yeah, that's what I do. I buy notes, bought over $1 billion in distressed debt in the last 15 years. And my company's name is WeCloseNotes.com. So that's exactly what we do. WeCloseNotes. It's a one-off note all the way up to a larger portfolio of 100, 200 notes.
Well, I definitely want to take a deeper dive into what note buying is about. But you said a few things. I just kind of want to back up. Before you got into note buying, you were doing real estate deals, or you were investing in real estate. What were you doing?
Like many investors, I was wholesaling property. I was doing some rentals. I took some stuff over subject to. When I first got into real estate back in 2001, we bought our first house, and then we immediately bought two investment properties back then because we had such great credit and it was very easy to get financing back in the day if you fogged a mirror. And so I thought I would be the next, rental king, the landlord king here in North Austin or Round Rock, Texas. And then unfortunately, I mean, I was working at a full-time job. I got laid off. My tenants got laid off from their job working at Dell Computers. So we were trying to make 6 mortgage payments on a private school teacher salary.
Okay.
Not very pleasant. I empathize with people who are behind the mortgage because I was a deadbeat borrower back at that time. We were just doing whatever I could. We got rid of the 2 investment properties, kept our primary, kept it going to foreclosure. And so I licked my wounds for a couple of years as we got my assets out of a sling, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to meet up with a couple investors here in Austin, and a buddy of mine introduced me to them. And we started doing mortgages in 2004. I left corporate America and started doing, we ran a mortgage company that was traveling the country and doing investor loans for fix and flippers, and then also cash out refis. And from 2004 to 2008, it was really nice, John. I kind of had a 4-year apprenticeship with these investors. They were traveling the country, speaking at all these investment seminars and expos. And I was in the back room listening and learning. And I took what I learned and applied it in market. So, like I said, I was buying real estate and doing light rehabs and fix and flips and rentals, and doing like many investors and trying to be a jack of all trades, adding tools to my tool belt. And then when everything hit the fan in 2008, I sold my part of the mortgage company for $1, basically. But I'd already started buying mortgages because that's saw an opportunity there and had a couple mentors that taught me that space. And that's all I've done since then, is really just buy debt.
Okay, so let's jump right into that. How do you buy notes?
It's a good question.
A lot of people have no idea what you're talking about.
So. Yeah, right. So why don't we bring it back to what is a note? A note is a mortgage. I make the running joke that we're all in the mortgage industry. If you are paying on a mortgage, your student loan payments, your credit card bills, medical debt, or whatever it might be. You owe your credit cards, or you owe your brother Bubba down the street $500. You're in the note space. You're just on the wrong side of the payment stream. You got it going out. Well, you want that payment coming in. And that's what we do, is we reach out to a variety of different banks and lending institutions and their internal departments. I mean, you're not just going to go down to your local Wells Fargo and say, hey, I want to buy a note. They'll laugh at you. So we contact these asset managers at banks, and every bank has non-performing debt. And by non-performing debt, that means where somebody has not paid on their mortgage in at least 90 days or greater. It's actually in default. And, you know, debt buying has been around for centuries. You know, it's not anything brand new, but it is a very small niche within the overall line picture of real estate. And so we contact these asset managers of banks, and they send us lists. It may be one note, it may be 900 notes of people who are not paying or mortgages that they want to get off their books, that they would rather sell that debt to us at a big discount because they're not paying. That we buy that debt at a big discount and we work it out. It's a win for the banks because now they get 50 cents on the dollar versus not getting anything for a while. They can take that 50 cents on the dollar and go out and rinse and repeat and lend it back out again. Whereas if somebody owes 100 grand on a $100,000 house, if we bought it at 50, that gives us a lot of flexibility, John, to talk to the borrowers and listen, what happened? You know, what kind of country western song have you gone through? Did you get laid off, divorced? You know, grandma got run over by a reindeer. What happened? You know, how can we get you back on track? And that's kind of what we do, is we're buying first liens, mortgages. And then that's our biggest goal is not to take the property back and rehab the property. Our biggest goal is to actually, as I like to say, rehab the borrower. And I like to say that we are making America great again, one defaulted borrower at a time.
I love that. It's funny to think about that, but I love it because you're really helping people out in a significant way. These are people that probably were dealing with a big bank where they can't have a personal conversation with anybody. And then you come along and you own their note and start talking to them. Tell me about those kinds of conversations that you have with people when you get on the phone with them.
Yeah. So I want to clarify something. We're not buying from Chase or Citi or Wells Fargo or Bank of America. Those are the bigger five. If you want to buy from them guys, you're buying $50 million at a time and it's not really affordable. They're not good, but that's okay. That's at least like 4,000 plus lending institutions across the country. So
there you go.
Yeah, those conversations are always unique. And the beautiful thing is this is a very vendor driven business. So I'm not literally, if I buy 100 notes, I'm not having 100 conversations with borrowers. We have a third party servicing company that handles collections and handles the borrower outreach, make sure that everything is Dodd-Frank compliant or that we're not violating any Consumer Finance Protection Bureau laws or anything like that. So that when you're dealing with debt, you've got to follow some guidelines. You can't be calling and say, hey, pay me now or I'm going to show up and kick your ass. You know what I mean? Can't do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to follow some guidelines. And some states have stricter licensing guidelines than other states. Others are just if your servicer is licensed, you're okay. So, but I do hear what's going on with borrowers. I get a report from my servicing company and attorneys, and it's always, hey, this borrower would like to, you know, do a modification. And it's always like, okay, well, what can they bring to the table? I mean, they haven't paid in a year or 2 years because of COVID. You know, what can they bring? You know, can they bring $1,000? Can they bring 4 months of back payments to the table? You know, why did they stop paying? Did they get sick? Have they been unemployed? You know, some people will like to hide their head in the sand, but you'd be surprised what they share on social media these days, you know, and right. we do a little social sleuthing and, you know, you'll find out we had a guy who's a professor for the University of Missouri. He'd been sick. He'd had cancer. Well, that's kind of a logical reason why he can't pay his mortgage. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so we were able to work with him and his spouse, keeping the house. We had another one where the guy was out of Illinois, and he was an author and speaker, and he broke his leg, so he couldn't speak, you know, for a few months. They kind of got him behind the ball and kind of this, you know, this avalanche behind him. And we stepped in and said, okay, I see what's going on. We see that you're doing this. Let's get you. Can you start making your existing payment now versus the, you know, 6 months you're behind? He's like, yeah, I can start making an existing payment. I could pay $100 or $200 extra to allow me to get caught up. So at the end of the year, I'm back normal. I was like, let's do it. Let's just do that. That'll work for us. And so you love helping people. And then you also got the people that like, am I going to pay my mortgage this month or going to go to Disney World? we're going to go to Disney World. And I'm like, homie, don't play that, baby. I get it. You want to have fun, but guess what? You can get Disney Plus versus going to Disney World. We've had another guy who was going through a transition. He was paying for his breast implants and his breast enhancements versus paying his mortgage. I was like, okay, great. You're an entertainer there of some sort, but no. And we've had most of the time, John, 80-85% of the people out there, they want help. They're willing to work with us. They want to stay in their house. They don't want to lose their house because if they no pay, they no stay. Mm-hmm. We try to modify it, or if they've got a lot of equity, we could help them sell the property, or if they've got a 401k, they could cash out that 401k and pay us off. We're pretty easy to work with if a bar will talk with us and be honest with us. But if they're gonna lie to us or not answer or be really gruff on the phone or tell us to go pound sand, I'm like, well, then what we do at that point is we just turn it over to our legal team, our attorneys in every state, and they start the foreclosure process.
Okay,
go from there. But
So I really like what you're doing in rehabilitating the borrower. I think that's a great model. A lot of companies I don't think would really, I don't know. I don't know the space well enough, but I imagine it could be pretty cutthroat and there's a lot of in this case, foreclosures and a opportunity to seize people's properties and that sort of thing. But you're taking a slightly different approach than what I imagined that space, could be.
So let me tell you, the first 2 years I got into the note business, I came from the fix and flip mindset. And that's one of the big mistakes that we see a lot of investors make when they come from the landlord space or the fix and flip space, is they want to take the property back. And that's how I thought the first 2 years as a note investor. And I learned that my biggest bang for my buck, my most profitable strategy is actually to keep people in their houses. Because instead of me starting the foreclosure process, which can vary state by state. I mean, you're in Georgia, you're one of the fastest foreclosure states in the country for 30 days. Texas, we're faster at 21 days, fast highways, fast foreclosures, fast executions here. Compared to like New York, which is 3 years, New Jersey, which is like 2.5 years of foreclosure, Florida, God's waiting room can be, 12 to 18 months,
Okay.
So the thing that I started looking back at, I was like, man, if this bar did express interest in doing a loan mod, but if I'd have modified it, I would have made a bigger ROI by immediately starting to get cash flow coming in versus having to pay out attorney fees, servicing costs, and then foreclosure costs, and then repair costs, mm-hmm. Where I don't end up with the real estate and my profit till 18 months later. I thought, man, it would have made more sense to have them back in the house. And then if they paid on time for 12 months, I could then take that note that if I bought it at 50 cents, since the borrower's paid on time for 12 months, it's now reconsidered a reperforming loan. I can sell that note back to Wall Street or to other investors at 85, 90 cents of value,
mm-hmm.
which is what I would have yielded at a foreclosure auction after all my costs and expenses and stuff like that. Well, I should have just done that more so. And, so I learned that the hard way. Don't get me wrong, we made a lot of money. Foreclosures were dragging out in different parts of the country, stuff like that. But like I said, our biggest bang for the buck is to keep people in their houses or to, if they can't pay, they can't come up with a payment plan, then we'll, a lot of times we'll do a deed in lieu of foreclosure or give them cash for keys and let them walk as well too, mm-hmm. in that case.
So let's take a deeper dive into the investment side of this business. So, I don't know if you have like millions of dollars in your pocket and you're just like buying notes out there because you have so much money. And how does that part of it work? You're obviously there's an opportunity for investors to partner with you or you have a group of investors. How does this work?
Yeah. So we use OPM, other people's money. Back in, when the mortgage industry was in the tank, I didn't have a lot of capital at that point. So I was getting deals in and started marketing those deals on social media and just sharing what I do and buying notes because most people aren't familiar with that. So we started teaching people how to do this. I started sharing how we do this and how we find these deals and how we evaluate them and how we offer on them. And so, we work with investors. We use other people's money, like I said, to purchase these notes at a discount. Either give them a passive return, or depending on what they're investing, they can get more of an active return. It just depends on what the investor's looking for. But we've had 14, 15 million on the market in capital raise over the last few years. Has bought a lot of debt. we're always kind of recycling that as deals close and investors cash out, or as investors, new deals that we're finding, they'll roll that money into new deals. But I will tell you right now, we're really excited about what the market has in store for us. We're already, over the last 6 months, we've already started to see an increase in deal flow, which is a little bit different than most investors. Most investors are struggling to find deals.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Well, the great thing about when you buy debt, John, is that you're going to see these lists. So we see these lists from banks and asset managers sent to us without any of the expensive costs, direct mail, stuff like that. They just email it to us on a pretty regular basis. But we're seeing these deals almost a year before they would ever hit the traditional markets. You know, at least 6 months in a lot of cases before it hits the foreclosure auction or before a notice of default is filed or that kind of stuff. So that kind of gives us, you know, we're at the front of the line and seeing these deals, and we can cherry pick them. Some people are concerned, like, oh, I got to have $5 million to buy debt. And that's not the case. We work with a lot of deals that are, like, I'll give you a great example. I just closed on a deal last week that we paid $55,000 for it. It was a note that's worth $120,000. You know, the property is worth $120,000. The guy owes $130,000. So he's a little upside down, but the seller sold it to us at such a great discount that, you know, we've got a lot of equity between what we bought the note at and what he paid at. It's a great investor. The investor that funded the deal, he's getting a 7.5% return on his money, which when it was making zero, sitting in his IRA. He hadn't done anything. His money would have been sitting in his IRA account for 2 years, making zero, technically negative with inflation, but now he's got a 7.5% return that'll last probably about 12 to 24 months, depending on which way the borrower goes on this deal. We could modify it, or they won't play ball, then we'll foreclose and just sell the asset at the auction. So, but that's what, we work with other people's money. We're constantly raising. We like to tap into, and we're not exclusive to this, but we use a lot of self-directed IRA money. When we're buying deals in specific counties, we'll actually jump on the county appraisal districts and the county clerk and look for self-directed IRA investors and market to them. Say, hey, see that you've used your IRA to buy a property or lent money on it. Are you looking for more deals? We've got opportunities if you're interested.
So somebody who's maybe new to investing in this way with their IRA, they may not even have a self-directed IRA. So, which is a thing. So for newer people, describe the process of, like, if somebody sitting on the IRA, it's like doing nothing right now. How do they get into, setting up a self-directed IRA? You know, that can be done, but how do they get into note buying then after they have their self-directed IRA?
So here's the number one rule when it comes to investing: never invest in something you don't understand. That's the number one cardinal rule. And notes may not be for everybody. Some people like the more tangible side of buying a property, or they're doing like what you're doing and buying property in Atlanta there and fixing and flipping it up. You got to learn stuff. That's part of how we started and why we started teaching people how to do what we do. Cause it was like, hey, it's a different process of buying a note than going out buying a property. You know, there's a lot of different things to look at. So the first thing I would tell people is to get educated. We've got a wealth of knowledge out there, and we have classes that we teach on a regular basis. We've got a podcast, The Note Closer Show, with almost 700 episodes. Every Monday night, we do another episode of our other podcast, Note Night in America, that's on a variety of different topics. So you got to get it.
I love the name of that, Note Night in America. That's like, everybody should tune into that. That's
exactly. Awesome. It's a total ripoff of Football Night in America, or a Hockey Night in America. You know, I was like, it used to be called the Monday Note, and I'm like, eh. You know, but we've been doing that since 2011. You know, we've been doing it for over 11 years, almost every Monday night. I mean, we average 35 episodes a year on that. And it started off as a conference call, and it's now been videos and Zoom. But, you know, we'll get we had 504 people registered for it this Monday night. We talked about conversations with investors. You know, what do you say? What don't you say? What do you ask? What don't you ask? You know? It's one of our greatest assets in that we just touch base with our audience almost a weekly basis. It's open to the public. If you want to listen in, you can always go to notenightinamerica.com. It's free to register for it. And it's on any podcasting platform. Our YouTube channel has, 1,500 videos on it as well, too, for folks to watch and learn. But that's the thing. You got to get educated. And the second thing is understand what's going on. The biggest misconception that people get when they look at notes, I'm going to own the property. That's not necessarily the case. You can end up with a property if you go the legal route or the bar's walked away, or what's not, but a lot of cases, you're not getting the property until you've gone through that legal process. And so we see investors that come into it from the fix and flip or the, and they end up overpaying for an asset, a note, and thinking that they're going to get the property. Like, no, you just overpaid for it. That bar is in it and still has the right to make up the loan or reinstate it and go from there. So that's the biggest thing. You got to get knowledgeable on any niche that you're going to focus on. I started out like many investors. I was dabbling, doing different things, and I was okay at a bunch of different activities, but I wasn't good until I really focused on one or two activities.
You definitely found your niche. That's for sure. I mean, I love everything you're saying. And so if people wanted to connect with you, is it note9america.com? Is that the best way?
The easiest way is just to go to weclosenotes.com. That's the main website where you'll find all of our podcasts and stuff that's out there and deal flow. So Scott, my email is really easy. Scott@weclosenotes.com. So it's not difficult, easy. It's an easy thing. You know, you Google Scott Carson Real Estate, you'll find a lot of great stuff out there as well for us.
Yeah. That's great. Well, is there anything else that you want to add that I haven't asked you about that you'd like people to know about?
So one of the things that we could do, I'd love to give a gift to your audience, any listeners, if you're interested. Every third Saturday of the month, we've been doing this now for 2 years since COVID kicked in. We teach a 1 day class called Note Weekend. And it's kind of an introductory dip your toe in the water kind of class to where we're talking about how we find, how to fund, how to flip. It's normally $99. If you go to noteweekend.com and type in the special code ALPHA, you'll get it for free.
Oh,
and
I love it.
That's my gift to your audience. It's over $1,000 in bonuses. If they can't attend on a Saturday, not a big deal. They get the replays to the previous class and they can start learning about note investing that way. So it's noteweekend.com. And if you use the code ALPHA, it'll drop it down to zero and you'll get the class for free.
Oh, that is awesome. I love it. So that's available for anybody that goes to noteweekend.com.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I love it. Scott, I really appreciate you taking time to talk to me today about buying notes. And if there's anything that you want to follow up on, shoot me an email. I'm going to put all this information in the show notes so that people that are driving in their car or listening, they can go back to the show and they can get all this information, get the links.
That's great, John. I just want to make sure and give a big shout out to everybody that's listening. If you're loving what John's doing, he's kicking ass, taking names to this podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And make sure you hit that spot and leave a 5-star review for John. We as podcasters love to hear from our audience. So do so. Hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star review. If you don't have a 5-star review, shove off.
I love it, Scott. Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate the promo.
Anytime, buddy. The check's in the mail.